This is from Galatians chapter 5. You quoted a scripture this morning, and I looked it up, and I was reading these verses. All of Paul, I was going to say Galatians is probably one of the more important books of the New Testament, but all of Paul's writings are very important. The thing that strikes me is that Christians generally give themselves to the New Testament much more so than the Old Testament. Most Christians are not that familiar with the Old Testament. A little bit, but not so much. But the New Testament is what they usually read. Most sermons come from the New Testament. Nevertheless, I find that the New Testament, for the most part, is not understood. I know even in the Gospels, Jesus would, in speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he said, you're so wrapped up in the traditions of men. And I think this comes from the 7th chapter of Mark. You're so wrapped up in the traditions of men that you neglect and obliterate, I'm using my own words, the commandments of God. You reject the commandments of God for your own traditions. And you do things like, you got all these laws about washing pots and pans and things. You get caught up in cleaning the outside. In fact, he called them whitewashed tombs, because you whitewash the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. To a great extent, that's the way Christianity is today. You get caught up in the commandments of men, do this and do that, and they miss the miracle working power of God Himself. We tend to forget a very important scripture, and back in Genesis, I think it's chapter 15, verse 6, where it says, Abraham believed God, and God counted that for righteousness. Abraham did not do any special work. He just believed. God spoke a word, and Abraham believed. And in his believing, God counted that as righteousness. Now, sometimes we tend to think that Abraham or Isaac or maybe even Paul himself, that they're special and that they just don't have the normal fleshly problems that we have. But they did. Their makeup was no different. And in fact, James says that Elijah, a man of like passions as we are, all the same hang-ups, yet he prayed that it would not rain for 3 years, and it didn't. And then when he spoke a word, it rained again. There was nothing special about him that God would listen to him. What made it special? He believed. He just plain believed. He believed in God. I was looking at the 6th chapter of Exodus earlier, and over again in that chapter, God is saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord.
I am the Lord.
That's right. I am the Lord. Gosh, we tend to forget. He's the Lord. He's God. And when he says something, we can believe it. We can trust him. There is so much unbelief in human nature. And I personally feel like unbelief is the greatest sin of all. You don't have to do anything to be a sinner. You just are because of the unbelief. That unbelief is not something that you obtain outside of you. it was in you to start with when you were born. It's been there all along. It's inherent within human nature. I need to start reading, don't I? Chapter 5 of Galatians. No, it says the same thing. It really does. And this is what Paul is talking about. Believe. You don't have to make yourself look good. You don't have to do things, put on special garb, any special thing that you add to the outside of yourself to make you look holy. Holiness and righteousness comes through believing. You just believe. And as long as you're trying to obtain it in some way, through your own means, it doesn't work. And that's what the Galatians fell into. That's the thing that Paul was talking to them about. And in chapter 5, beginning with the first verse, Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And when I read that, the first thing it hit me was, what is the liberty? Stand fast in the liberty in which Christ has made us free. What is that liberty? The liberty to just do anything you want to do? No. It's not a liberty to just let it all hang out, so to speak. You are what you are, so just keep on being what you are. That's not the liberty. And some people seem to think that they have the liberty to just be and express all the wickedness of what they are in their flesh nature. But that's not what he's talking about. What is the liberty? The liberty is in believing God. Believe Him. Believe His Word. Just like it says of Abraham. Abraham believed God. God counted it for righteousness. It's the believing that brings the righteousness. It's the believing that brings change. It's the believing that overcomes the things of the flesh nature. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then Paul goes on to say, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing." Now, circumcision was something of the law in the Old Testament. It was a sign. A sign always points to something else. It's not the sign that brings the holiness or the righteousness. In one place, God said, "The Sabbath shall be a sign between you and me." In other words, the Sabbath just pointed to Him. The Sabbath in itself was not important. The Sabbath was just a sign. So it's a circumcision. A circumcision is a sign. It points to something else, but it's that something else that's important. God. And believing. And Paul said, if you're circumcised, Christ will not profit you at all. And you can take any other law, any other tradition, any man-made regulation or rule that you can think of and replace it where that word circumcision is, and it still holds true. Christ will not profit you anything as long as you have some man-made tradition or some legalism that's only a sign that points to something else. It's not going to profit you anything. You cannot become what Christ is through your own means. I think that the Bible points that out all the way through the whole scriptures. One of the first things we find with Abraham and his wife Sarah. Now, they were to have a son, and this son is important, but Sarah is barren. They cannot produce the son that they must have by normal means. The humanism part, the human ability, is missing. It just isn't there. So it doesn't happen until the Lord makes it happen. And it took them a long time to get to the place where I believe. I believe. And it's only when you reach the end of your human ability that you really begin to believe. Something has to eradicate the ability to accomplish the Word of God so that the Word of God can be fulfilled. You know, we find that true in every instance and every step that we take in God. We find that our own ability, our own education, our own energies, our own means stands in the way of the fulfillment of God. So, what is the liberty that we're to stand in? We have a liberty. The liberty is the liberty to not have to do it in yourself. The liberty not to have to accomplish it. But the liberty is just believe. And there's where grace is. Verse 3, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. If you're receiving justification because of anything that you do according to the flesh, by anything that you accomplish, then you've fallen from grace. Well, I could say, because I've given so much of my life to the study of the scriptures and the books in my library, that I have come to the place where I can just preach real good sermons. Oops, what happened? I just fell from grace. I just fell from grace. The day that I get to the place where I feel like I can preach a good sermon because of what I've studied, because of what I've done by my own means, I have fallen from grace. Doesn't mean that the study is not good. It just means that what's of God is not accomplished by human means. And that's what Paul is saying. Christ has become of none effect unto you, whosoever you are, justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. But we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, this is important. Listen to this. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Well, I cannot wait to be born again and take on the nature of Christ. I got to do some things to make it look like I've already born again. And so, I tell you what, as Christians, we can come up with a lot of good-looking things to do to make us look like we have arrived. Man, I'm a born-again Christian walking in maturity. You see that miracle I did the other day? I prayed for this guy and he got healed. Well, if he did, God did it. But check this out. We through the Spirit wait. We wait for the hope of righteousness. We wait for God to do it. We wait without believing. We are refusing to do it in ourselves. We're refusing to look like what we're supposed to be. No, we're going to wait until God does it. But we're waiting with faith. That's the same thing as saying, I believe. therefore God counts it as righteousness. Do you get that? If you looked at Abraham at that particular time, he didn't look righteous. He didn't even act righteous. He lied about his wife. But he believed God, and God counted it for righteousness. So we'll go through this period of time where we're not going to try to accomplish it in ourselves. We're going to wait for the hope of righteousness by believing. And while we're waiting for the hope of righteousness, God counts it as righteousness. You see. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision. See, whether you're circumcised or not circumcised, doesn't avail anything. But faith which works by love. I have one illustration I want to give on the believing. This is something that took place many years ago. I was visiting a church, visiting a Pentecostal church. They were in revival. At some point, I think it was after the sermon was over, but anyway, several people gave a testimony. One brother stood up and he says, I'd like for you to pray for me. He says, I have been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, for 8 years and haven't been able to receive. That brother's testimony just kind of stood out to me. So at the end of the service, the pastor said, everybody wants to come up to the altar and pray, do so. And he went up there and knelt down at the altar. So I went up there and knelt down beside him, pray for him, bless him. And I told him, brother, I want to bless you to receive the Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. Now, if you can believe, it'll happen immediately. But it's the believing that's important. You just believe. You're not looking for something special, but you just believe that you're going to receive. The Lord's willing and ready to bless you in this experience. He said, okay. So I blessed him and I prayed for him, Lord, pour out thy spirit upon this brother. I got through praying for him. Did you receive? No, I didn't get anything. He couldn't believe. But it's very difficult for a person to just plain believe.
Right.
To believe. And because they can't believe, then they have to come up with a lot of rules, regulations to live by. They know they're not really born again. Everything hasn't changed. And so they have to do things to make it look like it has changed. Do it yourself. It just cannot be done like that. And that's what this first verse hit me that way. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And that's not freedom to do one's own thing. That's the freedom to believe. Free from having to accomplish it in yourself. Free from having to have the ability yourself, you see. That's the liberty. I don't have to accomplish it. I don't have to act like it's already done. I just have to believe. And we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And we're waiting for God to do it. And we're believing for God to do it. I ain't going to accomplish it myself. I have a liberty. I have the freedom to not have to do it on my own.
Right.
That's really hitting home with me this morning. I have a freedom. It's not a freedom to do anything I want. It's a freedom to not have to do it. Okay, that's important in this message. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And verse 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith.